Father, I thank you again for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We receive that light and that understanding today in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory and praise unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at, why peace is so important. I want to dwell on that for a little bit more today. We talked about peace yesterday. Peace could be, the absence of trouble or whatever, contention, rancor, discontentment, and, just things that are not wholesome. The absence of those things in our lives, that could be peace. Peace could also be, even despite being in the midst of all that we could still have peace. Peace was guaranteed to us by what Christ did for us. As a matter of fact, all across the world or around the world this weekend, there is remembrance of the passion, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. There's remembrance of it throughout this weekend. So let's look at this prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. And one key thing that we want to focus on there is the fact that a lot of the suffering that Jesus went through, he did it because of gain peace for us, among other things. Because he does talk about the chastisement of our peace. So as you think and as we reflect on the sufferings of Christ, well, let's remember that a lot of it was for our peace. This is the way that Isaiah puts it. Surely he has borne our griefs. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. And carried our sorrows. Now these things, when we are going through grieving and sorrows, that can actually disrupt our peace. But we are told here that the Lord has borne those griefs and those sorrows and, carried them away for us, being smitten of God and afflicted on our behalf. He was wounded for our transgressions. So we see that he took care of all our transgressions, for all the wounds that he sustained. He was bruised for our iniquities. Well, I took care of that as well. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So all those beatings and everything purchased our peace along with healing as well. Praise the Lord. So let's look at some of the scriptures that deal with peace that God gives us through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In the book of, there's a role that we must play in this peace as well. In obtaining this peace, there's a role that we must play. Jesus would say things like, "Let not your heart be troubled," in John chapter 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He began to say that at the beginning of John chapter 14. And then in that same John chapter 14, he talked about peace in this manner in verse 27. He said, "Look, my peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." It's the second time he's saying that in that chapter. started with that at the beginning. He's saying it again here in this verse. My peace I give unto you. Well, if God is the one that gave it to us, or Jesus gave it to us, then the world cannot take it from us. The world should not be able to take it. The things that happen around us should not be able to take from us the peace that Jesus has given us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. So we see that the remedy that Jesus offers directly to counter troubled minds is his peace. When your minds are troubled, he said, you know, remember that I've given you my peace. The role that we must play in this whole thing is described in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So we must put our minds on the Lord and trust in him. He promises us peace when we do that. We trust in the Lord God, Jehovah, for in him is everlasting strength. And we must put our trust in the Lord. We talked yesterday about peace that passes understanding in Philippians 4 and 7. How that God wants us to have peace that even overcomes the situation that we are in. Not that the situation were removed, you know. Philippians 4 and 6 said, be anxious for nothing. Let not your heart be troubled. It's the same thing. Let not your heart be troubled. Be not anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, with thanksgiving too. And the peace of God. See, when we direct our hearts into trusting the Lord and not allowing the troubles around us to overcome our hearts, God promises us peace. Now, this peace does not necessarily mean that God took care of the problem already. It's just that you have peace, no matter what. You know, so if we're going through a situation that is not bringing us, we don't have peace, well, we need to look to make sure God is in that situation. You make a decision, or you're going trying to go through something and you don't have peace about it, well, check again. Make sure that God is in it. Because if the Lord is in it, you will have peace. To this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. That scripture is so powerful. In other words, whatever God has to move and shake in order to make sure you have peace, we do it. Now, it's a prayer. And you can also think of it as a promise. You can make it a prophetic prayer and say, Lord, you said that you will give me peace by all means. All means, whatever it takes, the Lord will give us peace. Wow. You know, I'm not too sure of many other things where where the scriptures qualifies it with, you know, by all means, you know, God will give this to you by all means. So even if it looks like things are going in the opposite direction, everything is scattered, upheavals, trouble everywhere, look for the peace that God gives in that situation. We've got to look for it. You know, that's the role that we must play. Look for the peace that God gives. You know, how do I get and experience peace through this situation? Well, there is something that God is saying or speaking or showing you even in that moment. And he will be with you. He said it. You know, you may have and will have an experience tribulation. John 16 and 33. Many things, actually, we may experience. But the Lord said, be of good cheer, because for your sakes and on your behalf, I have already overcome the world. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. You know, these are things that have these scriptures with you. These are things that we know, but these are just reminders. You know, the psalmist himself recognized that there would be many troubles that we would experience in life. But here's how he said it in Psalm 34 and verse 19. Many, not few, you know, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You know, that's the bottom line. I mean, so let's put it to you this way. The afflictions of the righteous may be many, yet the Lord will deliver him from them all. You know, so this scripture shows us that, you know, it's not necessarily going to always be, as they call it, a walk in the park, a bed of roses, you know, the life that we live, you know, but there is a promise of deliverance, no matter what affliction that we face. And that's what gives us peace, even through that situation. The peace that you need to give you strength for the situation that you are in. And these are the things that the Lord promises. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now this peace is so important that the Lord promises it in so many different places throughout the scriptures. You know, peace and peace and peace. We're even encouraged, you know, to look for it too in every situation we do. I mean, of life that we go through. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says, who is the man that will love life and would like to see good days? Well, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. You know, so, you know, even the scripture encourages us to do that. And here's another one that the psalmist encouraged himself with. He said, look, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Psalm 4 and verse 8. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Or, you know, I mean, just to dwell safely. The Lord promises us that. And the psalmist encouraged himself with it. And here is another admonition in Colossians chapter 3. The peace of God rule in your hearts, which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let's read the background to that Colossians chapter 3. Why did he say it like that? Well, I'm going to read a couple of verses there. Now, that chapter starts out by telling us to set our affection, you know, on, you know, things above and not on things beneath. He goes on to tell us that we should put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against any, well, even as Christ did, when he forgave us, he says, so also do ye. And talks about putting on charity, which is the bond of perfection. And he talks about, you know, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, in verse 15, in the midst of all of that, he says, you know, the peace of God, let it rule in your hearts, but the which you are also called in one body, which means you are called to peace. And this is part of God's calling, that we may experience peace. Peace in our lives, peace in our relationships, peace even in the body of Christ, one toward another. Praise the Lord. And these things are promised for us throughout the scripture. You know, sometimes greetings and salutations of peace are given even through the some of the writings of the epistles that we received. For instance, Jude verse 2 says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Peace. Always, you know, the scriptures talking about peace. Praise the Lord. James chapter 3 and verse 18. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Making peace, looking for peace, following peace with all men. These things are the characteristics of the children of God. In fact, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, so this is a different kind of aspect of peace. Not just peace within, but peace extended to others through our relationship. Let your relationship of others be characterized with peace, not conflict and not strife, you know. So, and when we do that, well, the Lord said, people that look at you even will think of you as the children of God, the children of peace. And because you are always, you know, trying to make peace, you know, rather than causing problems, you know. So the, in the scriptures, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus says that, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, so that's a characteristic of the children of God, to seek peace, you know, and pursue it as long as it, you know, lieth within you, seek peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. Hebrews 12 and 14, that's the commandment that the Lord gives us. When you have peace within, seek to have peace even in your relationship with others. Very, very powerful. So we're covering many aspects of peace. The ones that deal within us, in situations that we're going through, but also the ones that, you know, have to deal with conflict, you know, and things that could be troublesome in relationships. Peace. The Bible says, look for peace even in that, you know, endeavoring to keep the unity of the peace, I mean, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 and 13. Endeavoring there means that it's not easy. I mean, you have to work at it to, you know, keep the unity of the Spirit. Sometimes, you know, you have to give up some things. You know, you don't always have to hold to your right. And, you know, sometimes, well, you yield, you know, you just yield, you know, for the sake of peace. So peace is a thing that we must pursue. Pursue, follow peace with all men. It's important that we do that. Praise the Lord. And the people that love the word of the Lord, if you love the word of the Lord, it says, great shall be their peace. Nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Great shall be the peace of them that love the law of the Lord or the word of the Lord. Nothing shall offend them. They will not be troubled by anything, you know, because they love the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. They love the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Great shall be the peace of them that love the word of the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful promise. If you love the word of the Lord in your heart, the Lord will always make sure that you have peace. Well, here is one that we need to know and enjoy. You know, the be still and know that I am God. This being still is a form of peace. This is Psalm 46 and verse 10. You know, be still. In other words, we can't really know the Lord like we should unless we are still and quiet. You know, Psalm 41 says, be silent before me, O isles. You know, just be quiet, be still. I mean, that's a kind of peace also. In quietness before the Lord. Just be, you know, just be quiet before him. That's when he reveals himself to us. Isaiah 41, I said Psalm 41, I meant Isaiah 41 verse 1. Keep silence before me, O islands. And let the people renew their strength. So you renew your strength even in the quiet moments. Remember that the previous chapter, Isaiah 40, was talking about, you know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what he was talking about. The Lord wants us to wait on him to renew our strength. Isaiah 40 verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 41 verse 1 is actually part of that text. You know, the way they divided up these scriptures afterwards, some they just chopped them up into chapters. You know, sometimes you got to read them together like that to flow. The next chapter, this first verse, is really part of that. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Well, it's talking about how do you renew your strength? Well, waiting on the Lord is equated to keeping silence before him. You know, the things that trouble our mind, just shed them, come to the Lord, and just be silent before him. That's how we renew our strength. Glory to God. That's how we renew our strength before the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? If we practice his presence, that's how we renew our strength in the Lord. It's also a good thing for us to preach peace to others. We extend peace towards our brothers, but we should also preach peace to those that are without. That's right. You know, the preaching of the gospel is the preaching of peace towards those that are without the kingdom. We must introduce Christ as the Prince of Peace. Not that they will not have any troubles anymore, but that they can receive the peace of God even through the situation that they are currently in. We must offer that preaching of peace. Hallelujah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings. That's right. That publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good. That publisheth salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. So the preaching of the gospel must really be accompanied by the preaching of Jesus as the Prince of Peace to people in their troubled situations. You know, when we present it to them, you know, we teach them that Jesus can give you peace even through the problems that you have right now. There is a way, and it's sometimes, you know, incomprehensible. It is a peace that passes understanding. And we can share our own testimony as well. How that you have found peace from God. The publishing of good tidings includes the publishing of peace. The pronunciation of peace, you know, to those who are struggling. We talk about, you know, peace from the Lord. And God wants us not only to enjoy that peace for ourselves, He wants us to have peace with our brothers or in our relationships, peace over your situations, peace with other people, and us to show and preach this peace to others. You know, praise the Lord. You know, when many people have not found peace because they have not found the Lord Jesus. Sometimes even wealthy people, sometimes they don't have peace. They are troubled by many things. The preaching of the gospel is the publishing of peace. And we got to tell them about the peace that God can offer. And only He can offer the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A powerful lesson to preach to people that are going through, whether they are believers or not. God can give you peace if you put your trust in Him. You know, well, it's very hard if they don't have the Prince of Peace in their lives. But then we preach Him to them as the Prince of Peace. He's the one that can offer you that peace that your mind and heart and soul is looking for. You can't get it anyway else. But, you know, He's the one that's going to give it to you. The psalmist said, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 29 and verse 11. That's right. The peace that God gives, we find it only through the relationship that we have in Christ. When we have the genuine relationship with God through Christ, we receive the offer of peace, which Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. The God of peace, that's right, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. This verse telling us that God is called the God of peace because He wants us to have that peace in our lives. Praise the Lord. Peace in our lives. Remember, I was talking about, you know, the gospel that we preach must be a gospel of fruit. Well, let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 to 16. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah, that's how we preach it to others. The gospel of peace. This is the peace that you cannot get anywhere else. We need to incorporate that in the sharing of the gospel to people. You know, when we offer Jesus or present or introduce Jesus to people, introduce him also as the Prince of Peace. This gospel will bring you peace. Not that you will not have any more troubles, but that even if you're having troubles, God will sustain your heart. He will keep your heart and your minds through the peace that only He can offer. You can run from pillar to post, but you may not find it unless you run and come to Christ. Now that is a preaching of the gospel of peace. Why then is this peace so important? You know, this is something the devil doesn't want us to have. Jesus characterized the devil as a thief and a killer in John chapter 10, verse 10. The devil, he says, comes to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, and these are the things: steal your joy, steal your peace, kill your dreams, destroy your life even. I mean, these are the things. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life. A life in Christ is a life of peace. It's not a life that, you know, hey, we're free of every trouble. It's not a life that God promised that you'll be a millionaire. Maybe you might. Some of those things require some extra wisdom. But it's a life of peace that God promises everybody. It's a life of peace. You can have peace in the situation that you are in. And Jesus received all those stripes across his back to ensure that we have that peace. Think about it. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Those chastisements left stripes across his back. We always think of those stripes to give us healing, but we forget that the chastisement itself was for our peace. Let's not forget it. Now, do not leave anything that God offers on the table without taking it. You know, it's something that God offers. Peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you. It's an offer. But you gotta take it. And there are many things that Jesus offers like that. For instance, Matthew 11. He offers and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're troubled. You know, sometimes people can't even sleep. They can't get a good night's sleep because of all the things that they are going through. Well, Jesus said, all the heavy burden, all the labor, all the stuff that's taking away your peace and your rest, you come to me and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Matthew 11 and 28. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. That's also peace. Rest. You know, rest from troubles. Not necessarily the absence of it, but rest even in the midst of it. Praise God. It's supernatural. How does he do it? It is something that passes natural understanding. How can you have peace with all these things around you? Well, because Jesus gives us the peace. Not as the world gives. The world can only give peace a certain way, sometimes fake and false priests upon for pretenses and lies and false promises, but, you know, premised only or hinged upon only when there is no conflict. If there is no conflict, if two countries are at peace with each other, might form an, an alignment or alliance or whatever, but that's because they're not fighting. The world does not give peace and cannot have peace when there is conflict and when there is trouble. The world cannot give peace. People in the world cannot find peace when there is conflict, when there is trouble, when things are blowing up all around. There can be no peace. But Jesus said, in the midst of all of that, not like the world, but I give you my peace and I leave it with you. Praise the Lord. And let's take on the mantle of peace. That's right. In every situation, you know, look unto the Lord for that peace. Keep your minds on Him. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace as you do that. Many promises that God gives unto us when we are facing even health challenges, when we are facing when we need deliverance, when we need strength, when we need rest, you know, when we need whatever it is that we need from the Lord, we can have peace even while we are waiting. Peace can be so critical. You know, it's the antidote for anxiety. The Lord said, have no anxiety over these things, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request to God with thanksgiving. Don't let your mind be overrun with anxiety. Well, that's easier said than done, but it takes practice. It takes practice. You know, the people, you know, when somebody is easily agitated over things, they become very unstable. I learned the, and it works both ways. You know, I learned this concept even in preliminary lessons of science when I was a young man, when we were learning about laws of physics and atoms and chemistry. Some of them were stable, some were not. You know, the ones that are agitated and so on. Laws of physics and so on too. You know, the first law of physics, Isaac Newton's law of inertia. A body at rest continues to be at rest or tends to continue to be at rest. Yeah. What does that mean? Well, you know, if you are practiced and you have that rest, you will continue to be at rest. Even physics says that. You know, but if you're always agitated, then you will always be agitated. You know, so, you know, a body in motion tends to continue to be in motion. In other words, the one that is agitated, moving, and needs to move. You can apply that in so many ways. The movement can be a good thing, or it can be agitation. You know, the peace can be a good thing too. A body at rest, you know, tends to be at rest. And if it was disturbed, it tries to come back to the place of rest again. So that's why when you're driving in a car, they tell you to put on your seatbelt. All these things came from Mr. Newton, you know, he figured it out. Because if the car is going at 60 miles an hour, your body is in that car. But at that, in that moment, you are like, relatively speaking, you don't really, doesn't look like you are moving. But if the car suddenly stops, you know, then your body launches forward because you're still trying to go in that 60 miles per hour, you know. Because that's the law of physics. That's why I say, put your restraints, your seatbelt on, keep you from smashing through the windshield or something. I mean, so you see, even physics and so forth tell us these things, you know. If you are at rest, chances are that you will remain at rest. Agitated, chances are that you will be agitated even more, you know. So be at rest. And Jesus was a man, you know, in the flesh that knew how to experience the peace of God. He knew it. So during the storm, he could sleep because he knew how to experience peace even with the storm all around. The disciples needed to learn it. And so Jesus was trying to teach it to them. They had not learned how to experience peace even in the midst of the storm. It's not every storm, you know, I mean, we have this thing called spiritual capital, right? You build up your spiritual capacity, but it's not every storm that you have to expend any of that capacity on. Some storms, just let them pass. That's what storms do. The storms will come and will do their thing. You know, you already have insight into that storm. See, somebody who doesn't have insight, they will be more agitated. The person that has insight already knows how far that storm can go. The Lord set boundaries. He said, thus far and no further. He said that even to the seas. This is how far you go. But sometimes those seas will revolt. You have tsunami. You have all these things. You know. But when you have insight into the storm, you know that the storm can only go so far. You have insight into the cycles of day and night. You know that the night can only last so far. You already have insight into it. Psalm 30 and verse 5 tells you that. That night cannot last forever. We know that. At some point in time, you know, the day must break. So that insight gives you peace even in the midst of the night, which brings trouble. You know, sorrow is associated with night. Joy is associated with the morning. You know, these terrible things are associated with night. Or good things are associated with the day. So even the night, well, as we know, by knowledge of even natural things, cannot last forever. You know, some people say, well, this too shall pass. Well, it can't last forever. But, you know, if it lasts a long time, it can leave damage, especially permanent damage in some cases. So that's why we try to curtail the storm. You know, if you know that these waters are used to rising and overflowing their banks at certain times of the year, well, then you shore up your banks. You build barriers there to hold that thing when it rises. That's what people do. They already know that, look, this river, you know, at some point in time is going to erupt, you know, and overflow its banks and cause problems. Well, so you build stuff to hold it in place. You know, that's building your spiritual capacity to hold the storms in place. It's not that the storm will not rage, but you build up spiritual defenses. Glory to God. You know, how do you do it? Well, there are many ways by which the scripture instructs us in doing it. In fact, some of these things that we are doing here on a daily basis is helping us building up our munitions. Listen to this. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Isaiah 33 and, you know, verse 14. Well, fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? And who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Well, there's the answer. He that walketh righteously, speaketh uprightly, despiseth the gain of oppressions, shaketh his hands from holding bribes, stoppeth his ears from hearing blood, or, you know, tail-bearing and all that stuff, shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, even he shall dwell on high. Besides that, the place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. He builds up these things through his integrity and his righteousness. And on top of that, bread shall be given him and his waters shall be sure, because he has spent time to build these things up. Now we build up our spiritual capacity. You know, how do we do it? Well, in times when God gives you rest, in times when God gives you peace, well, that's even the time that you need to build up your spiritual capacity. Not in the midst of the storm, but before the storm. Most people can't even pray in the midst of the storm. But if you are already built up, then, you know, you call on, you know, what you've already built up before the storm came. There are many stories that we learned from the kings of Israel. Stories such as in the time of David, Solomon, Asa, you know, Hezekiah, the rest of them. Every time that they had peace, you know, they tried to build, you know, they tried to build. They said, well, the Lord has given us peace all around because we have sought the Lord. Therefore, let's build, let's expand. David thought of that. Well, the Lord has given me finally rest. Let me build a house for the Lord. Well, he didn't quite do it. The Lord said, no, you won't do it. But, you know, in the time of Solomon, he said, well, the Lord has given me rest all around. There is no trouble, no evil occurrence, you know. Therefore, now we can build. And so this lesson is telling us that, look, you build spiritual capacity when in the time of peace, before the trouble actually comes. It's not during the trouble that we start to scramble. You've already built up. 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 4 says, now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil or current. Because of that, he said, I propose to build an house. So when there is peace, that's when you build. You know, you build and store up capacity. I mean, think of someone that's going on a trip that did not pray, were not spiritually prepared. They got on that plane and suddenly there's this massive drop into an air hole and everything flying around and plane is trying to crash. Well, everybody would be panicking. But if you had prayed up, chances are, you know, you would have even prayed against that thing. But even if the thing was happening, because you had prayed and God had given you assurance. Now, prayer sometimes is more than just say a few words of prayer and then move on. No, you pray through. There are sometimes, you know, like this thing we're calling contending prayer. That's happening tomorrow. Sometimes you have to contend. You pray through certain situations until you get the assurance of peace. You know, if you have prayed like that, I've been in many situations like that. I prayed and I got the assurance before the thing. And when the thing is happening, I know I already prayed. Praise God. Jesus said, look, I've already prayed for you. When this thing happens to you, don't worry about it. I prayed for you. The devil will not be able to have you, said to Peter. You know, prayed through even before you come, face to face with that situation. You pray, you're prepared. you know. And then when you are in that situation too, you draw strength, inner strength, from knowing that the Lord is with you. And there are some people that know and have learned how to contend, how to wrestle in prayer. There was a story of a man famously told and famously known and famously read in the scriptures. You know, a man called Jacob, who wrestled with God or with the angel of the Lord in Genesis chapter 32. Wrestled. He said, you know, man was there. He got a hold of him and said, "You're not going anywhere unless you bless me." And the man, you know, was trying to get away. Every time he tried to get away, Jacob wrestled him down. You know, and my goodness. And finally he said, okay. So he looked for the hollow of his thigh, you know, did some trick there, you know. Wounded him a bit so that he won't be able to run after him. But then he looked back at him and said, "Wow, I see that you are a man that has power with God like a prince. Therefore, well, whatever you ask is granted you." You know, so this man, he wrestled, you know, and sometimes we have to contend, we have to wrestle like that to get the assurance in our hearts that the victory is already won. And then when you are going through and you find yourself in any situation, you remember that you've already prayed through it and that God will bring you through it. Praise the Lord. And that gives you peace because you know that the Lord knows, you know, the end of this matter, even from the beginning of it. So that gives you confidence to say, well, the Lord has already seen this before the end of it. I mean, seen the end even from the beginning. He has seen it and he knows it. And I am assured that he will bring me through. Praise the Lord. You know, Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10 says, "The Lord declares the end even from the beginning." But what happens if you faint in the day of adversity and you don't have this peace that we're talking about? Well, it means your strength is little. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. And you need to build up capacity, build up your munitions, your defense, build those up even in the time of peace. You know, because in troublous times, you might not be able to build up anything. But in troublous times, you call upon the reserve that you already had, that you were able to build in the time of trouble. Praise the Lord. Now, if we lose our cool or your peace over every little thing, what are you going to do? How can you contend? We're talking about contending now, even with bigger things. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5 asks this question. If you have run with footmen and they have wearied you, well, how then can you contend with horses? On your mark, get set and go. All of you are at the same level. You are all on foot. And everybody leaves you behind. You know, you can't contend with people, you know, that are running with you on foot just like you. And what are you going to race against horses? You can't do it. So, well, if in the land of peace, that's right, that means when things were quiet, right, you still freak out, And that means you are an unstable atom. You're unstable. I mean, everything, every little thing gets you all, you know, riled up. Yeah, every little thing. Even when things were peaceful, you should be at peace, but yet you freak out. Well, then what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? When Jordan overswells its banks? What are you going to do then? Read that in Jeremiah 12 and 5. Well, that means practice with the little things. Practice against footmen. Win the races against footmen. Or be able to hold your own, at least. Then you have a chance against horses. If you can't win against footmen, you can't do it against horses. And horses are coming. That's right. So you practice during the time of peace, in the land of peace, when things are peaceful. Don't be weary. You know, win every battle. Climb every mountain. You know, go in with this mindset that you are a winner. That's right. Any situation that you are entering, you know that you are already going to win. Don't enter with, oh, maybe win some, lose some. No, go in as a winner. Now, you may win, you may lose, but you don't go in thinking that you might lose. If you go in thinking that you might lose, then you are going to lose. But you go in thinking that you are going to win. Some people say, shoot for the moon. If you miss, maybe you land among the stars. Well, I don't know. But you can shoot with precision also. And don't miss. Praise the Lord. But you get the point. You know, but we build up capacity in the time of peace. In the time when there is no trouble and no evil occurrence, that's when you think of building. You should too. And what do you build? You build up your spiritual capacity. Those stories in the Bible, even though they were building natural things, well, they have spiritual symbolism as well. In the time of peace, that's when you build up. You know, build up capacity. You pray over your children. Not when they're already in trouble, it's when you start to pray. You pray over them before they got into any trouble. From the time that they are in the womb even, begin to dedicate them to the Lord. When they are growing, you begin to pray over them, begin to show them the word of the Lord. You know, and even the Bible says the same thing to the children. Remember the Lord in the days of your remember the Lord thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come. So when there is time of peace, that's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A time of peace, a time of trouble. In the time of peace, that's when you build. Glory to God. You know, you cannot build, you know, when you have troublous times with Sambalat and Tobias trying to tear down everything you are building. But if God will give you grace to ward them off, then maybe but it will be difficult because you got to hold sword with one hand, try to build with another. That's difficult, you know. So, but the Lord already said it, the walls are built in troublous times, you know. So that's what they happen to them. But generally speaking, better to build when there is no evil, when there is no trouble, when there is no war, when there is no conflict, when there is no evil occurrence. That's when you build. So, how do you do it on a daily basis? Well, when you wake up in the morning, before anything happens, you build. Glory to God. You command the morning, you know, you command the day in the womb of the morning. When the day is still pregnant, you don't know what it's going to bring forth yet. You take care of it before it even happens. Glory to God. You know, so when trouble starts to happen during the day, you remember that you already prayed. Glory to God. You know, but if you didn't pray and then trouble happens, then you'll be running helter skelter. You know, so if we spend more time in prayer, especially contending prayer, we are more likely to avoid many situations. And even if you didn't avoid, the Lord will give you the peace when that situation comes up. You say, you know, you will not be troubled. You will not be anxious. You would have prayed about it. And then the peace of God and passes understanding will keep your heart because you have prayed. This is why peace is so relevant and so important for us. What happens when it looks like your needs are not being met? Well, this is another area where people must learn to hold their peace, even in the face of trouble. Just hold your peace. Remember, some scripture says, hold your peace. Sometimes that means keep quiet. Be silent before me, O house. But it also means hold your composure. You know, don't freak out. Hold your composure, knowing that he is faithful who has promised. Glory to God. And he will come through for you. He may not come through, you know, on your own schedule, but he will definitely come through. And while we are waiting, keep your trust in the Lord. That's how you will be kept in perfect peace. That's the only way that the peace of God will keep your hearts, because you have now been instructed in how to hold your peace, even in situations, you know, that are troublesome. And the God of peace himself will grant you peace, you know, by all means necessary. Now, and when you have received this peace, then confide it on others. Praise the Lord. Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, he said, well, when you get to a place, well, if the child of peace is in there, then let your peace remain on that place. Give them even more peace because they are vessels of peace, a child of peace. But if there is no child of peace there, then when you leave the place, brush even the dust off your feet. Shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than that place. So Jesus is saying, you can confer your peace upon people who are children of peace already. You know, they are open to receive peace. You confer your peace. You preach the gospel of peace to them. You confer your peace upon them. Glory to God. You can't come give. You cannot give though what you don't have. So first you have it, then you give of it. Praise the Lord. It can only give what you have. You know, so give your peace off, all right, I should say, give off your peace to others who are in trouble. That's what the scripture means when it says, you know, the Lord, you know, we will be able to comfort those by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We'll be able to teach people how to receive peace by the peace that we ourselves have received of God. We have learned to receive peace, even in our situations. We're not, you know, the people that look for peace, yet trouble came. We are the people who receive peace even in the midst of trouble. But some people said, to some people though, he said, well, you look for peace, but yet trouble came. Those are the people to whom we must preach the gospel of peace. Why is it that you are not having peace when you're looking for peace, but yet trouble are coming? Well, because you left the Prince of Peace out of the equation. You can't find the peace outside of him. You know, so we add that to our preaching. When we preach the gospel, add the preaching of peace to it. So, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and no one can have true and lasting peace without him. Praise the Lord. So today's lesson is a follow-up on yesterday, was just to speak a little more on peace. These three things that God promised us out of Isaiah 54 and verse 10. The mountains may be removed and the hills may depart, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Glory to God. Neither the covenant of my peace, saith the Lord, that had mercy or had mercy on you. Praise the Lord. So, enjoy the kindness of the Lord. Enjoy his peace and enjoy his mercy. These are things that he has promised. We spoke about mercy quite a bit yesterday. We spoke about kindness also. So I wanted to speak a little bit more about peace today. Praise the Lord. Now, peace and safety, the world promises, but it's a lie. The Antichrist will also promise peace and safety, but then there will come destruction. But that's when Jesus says, not as the world giveth. For when they shall say peace and safety, then destruction cometh. They're lying, you know, to one another and to each other. They say, oh, you know, let's call a truce. Let's hold off. Let's call a ceasefire. But it's a lie. You know, they're trying to deceive the other. While the other one is trying to cease fire, then they will attack them some more. You know, because it's all a lie. But when Jesus gives you peace in the midst of trouble, then truly he gives you peace. You know, here's a good scripture for you to use for people who are struggling but cannot find peace. Jeremiah 8 and 15 says, we looked for peace, but no good came. Trouble came instead. You know, we look for a time of health, you know, but behold, we found trouble. Right? And you tell the people, well, yeah, because you can't do it without the Christ. Christ is the Prince of Peace. In him alone is real peace. That's right. And if you can put your faith in him, there is a way that he can change your heart's posture to have peace, even in the midst of trouble. Now I'm going to pray, I know, for everyone that's here and everyone that's listening and even others that may listen later on. This peace that we're talking about is something that has eluded so many people. And continues to elude people. And people go through their day. Hardly can most people go through the day without being, you know, riled up about something or the other. You know, but the Lord can give you peace. And we need to have that peace. You know, the more agitated we are, less likely that we are going to enjoy a good life. Jesus said, I want you to have abundant life, not full of agitations. Yeah, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And acquaint yourself with him also, Job said. I mean, in the book of Job, there is a lesson of also how to enter into this peace. You know, you've got to acquaint yourself with the Lord. That's how you will be at peace. Praise the Lord. In the book of Job, chapter 22 and verse 21, Eliphaz was speaking here. Say, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. That's right. So this is a message that we can preach to people. Say, look, you know, draw close to God, acquaint yourself with him, you know, open up to him, you know, interact with him, get this relationship going with him. This is what can bring you peace. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Glory to God. There are many more things he says in that place, but it starts with acquainting yourself with the Lord. You know, and if you return to the Almighty, he said, then thou shalt be built up. At the same time, you will learn how to put away iniquity from your tabernacles. A lot of other blessings follow. Laying up gold as dust and so forth. And especially the Almighty being your defense. Praise the Lord. And you make your prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And also remember to pay your vows. All of these things come from us acquainting ourselves with the Lord. Draw close to him, and he will draw close unto you. Seek him with all your heart, and he shall be found of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Commit thy ways unto him. Shall establish thy thoughts and even the works of your hands. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, again for all your children that are in the room today. Praise the Lord. Thank you for those that are listening. Thank you for those that will listen later on. Peace. You said to offer us peace. The covenant of peace. You made that covenant. And the blessed the Lord said, I will not break my covenant or alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth. Covenant of peace has given unto us. Glory to God. Now, therefore, O Lord, teach us your ways, you know, how that we may bask in this confidence of knowing what you promised. My kindness, you said, shall not depart from you. Even covenant of my peace. Huh? Glory to God. Because of the mercies of the Lord. Father, we pray that you will enjoy, your people will enjoy the goodness and mercy of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And those of us who have received his goodness and his mercy and his peace, well, help us also to follow peace with everybody else with whom we have to do, as much as it lies within us. And I pray also, Lord, that you will help us to teach peace to others that have not known the Lord, how that they may obtain peace, you know, by coming to the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for contending prayer that will be happening tomorrow. We pray, Lord, that you enable us, everyone that's involved, to come, be engaged fully, and to wrestle in prayer. You have promised us that we will win. Ha! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We also thank you for this season. For us, really, you know, the Lord's death and resurrection is in our heart every day. But thank God that even the world recognizes that. We thank God for such a time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We receive the work of peace, you know, that the Lord has done for us. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The work of righteousness shall be tranquility to all those that put their trust in the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generation. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto, put your name there, David, Yato, Ebon, whoever. The Lord has sworn unto you that he will establish you. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. This covenant of peace that you have promised, you said you will not break it and you will not alter it. And we receive it with thanksgiving. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. My mercy will I keep with you forever, the Lord said. Psalm 89 and verse 29 or 28. My mercy will I keep with you forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with you. My covenant, he said, will I not break. Psalm 89 and verse 34. Nor alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. This covenant of peace, the Lord will not break it. You will have it. He called it a covenant. It will be with you. Saith the Lord, I had mercy upon you. Peace upon the Israel of God. Peace upon you. Peace upon your household. Peace upon your loved ones, your family, your children, your parents, your children's children. Peace upon everything that pertains unto you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.